Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I got a big time pizza story coming up. Also, March Madness. Madness, an epic round. And Rotten Tomatoes all coming. First, I'll tell you about Meguiar's. Over the last few years, Meguiar's launched their next generation of protective products specially geared towards DIYers. Hybrid ceramic spray wax. Bright blue bottle. Advanced SiO2 hybrid technology delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. Meguiar's hybrid ceramic wax, liquid ceramic wax, that is, long-lasting ceramic protection and an easy-to-use wax hybrid ceramic spray detailer for the in-between boosted maintenance. You know, we're not needing to do a full detail job. You just want to get some of those droppings off the hood. Removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings. This year, they've expanded to include new hybrid ceramic wash and wax, bright orange bottle, unique two-liquid system together in one bucket. Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. Ceramic, made easy with Meguiar's.
80% of Americans found something they can all agree on. America is falling apart. How did we get here and how do we get out of it? Newsflash, media plays a central role in both. Check out our new podcast, Media Roundtable. We'll talk to media moguls, top hosts on both sides of the aisle, and the people who pay for it all, the sponsors. Media Roundtable is not just a podcast. It's a movement to restore trust and civility to the national conversation, and we need you to be a part of it. Look for Media Roundtable wherever you get your shows and subscribe now.
We're inside another 40-minute free ride on the Toolbox with lunch up for grabs at Olive Garden. Olive Garden, when you're here, you got to ask yourself, what went wrong? From Pasadena to Palmdale, Pomona to Paramount, the best stimulus is the permission to survive. We paid the toll. Let's cross the river Styx and get back to work for the blue-collar man on the Toolbox. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jeff Cesario. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of March Madness madness, plus the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, on the third day, he rose again, and then jumped naked into a cold pool. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. The mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball run.
The motherfucker.
All right. Much to talk about. No real categories, but a potpourri of things have been running through my brain. One is, as I was driving Sonny around today. Actually, Natalia was driving, and Sonny and I were in the car. We were talking about crows, and he was telling me kids are great in the internet. He's like, you know, pigeons can sit. And I'm like, they can? Yeah, they sit. They sit just like regular. And he pulled it up on his phone. Right. So I start getting my crows and my ravens, and I was like, well, ravens are like bigger crows, and they're meaner, and they're tougher, and they're heavier, and blah, blah, blah. And then 10 seconds later, he goes, you know, a group of crows is called a murder of crows. And I go, yeah, I know that. That's part of my argument. That's my thing. But something I believe we missed completely on this show, as we talked about crows and ravens and attack crows and everything else, a group of ravens is called an unkindness.
What?
That's also possible to believe.
That's what I backhanded him immediately. I did that. I did the move. The only reason I became a parent is to ride in the passenger seat and reach backward blindly and smack a child, as I was on the losing end of that. I should get out of here. Oh, no. Crows are murders, but ravens are unkindness, which is a very pejorative kind of name to give.
Indeed.
It's lengthy.
But earned.
But earned.
But earned.
So I was like, you got it. Get the hell. He said, yeah. And then I went home and I looked at it. And it's called an unkindness. So another one of my arguments of why we should have ravens, if there weren't enough shootings and supermarkets and schools and softball fields, what those crows. I mean, just look at the whole Republican softball game where Steve Scalise got shot like 2 or 3 years ago by the crazy Bernie Sanders guy.
Yeah.
What if there were the crows there?
Yes,
the guy was standing out in the middle of a softball field just picking people off.
The crows are there anyway. They might as well be doing something to contribute.
A group of owls is called
I know it.
Go ahead.
A parliament.
A parliament. By the way, I'm sorry, but this is bleeding into the racial aspect of this whole thing. The black birds are either called a murder or an unkindness.
They're violent and unwelcome.
And the white snow owl is called the Parliament.
Yeah, very orderly.
Interesting.
Lawmakers.
Also, ironically, a funk band, Parliament.
But, cultural appropriation.
I don't know. Look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if those birds weren't all black, you think they would have got a better name back in the day?
It could have helped their cause tremendously.
It's a pretty tough. And again, unkindness, that's long and cumbersome. And it doesn't even make sense when you're trying to, you're trying to do a pod, like whales or a pod. Yeah. All right. Short,
makes
sweet,
sense. Sure.
Makes sense.
A school of fish.
School.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah, gotcha.
We got unkindness.
And no ambiguity.
No, just an
unkindness.
There's
no wiggle room there. It's like, what do you guys mean by that?
It could be taken many different ways. We're huge fans of ravens. They're called an unkindness. Weird, right?
Never knew that.
Makes no sense.
Well, somebody must have observed them in the wild being unkind.
But
there are plenty of predatory animals in the wild that are unkind.
Yeah, I know. It must have been like 200 years ago and people are sitting around.
Unkindness of bobcats.
Yeah, it's no pride of lions.
Right, pride of lions, right. Look at those birds. They're wilding on that pigeon. What shall we call them? Yeah, more group names.
All right.
Can you do worse than murder or unkindness?
No, those seem to be the worst. Quail is a bevy.
Makes sense. All right, a group.
Pheasants are a bouquet of pheasants.
Oh,
this is all lovely. This all named by white guys.
Parrots are a company of
a
parrots.
Company of parrot.
Oh,
parrots.
Why not?
The farther they get away from an unkindness, the worse it becomes.
I agree, but there's only one blackbird.
Woodpeckers are a descent.
A descent.
Yeah,
sure.
They're all kind of friendly.
Jays, they're a party.
Yeah, you could name airlines after these birds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Turkeys are rafters. Herons are a siege.
Rafter of turkeys.
A siege. Oh. All right.
Well, it's not bad.
Oh, magpies got away with a good one. They're called tidings.
Tidings?
Yeah.
Tiding of magpies?
Of
Jesus
magpies.
Christ.
All right. Well, anyway, I just thought we missed somehow unkindness, which sounds like someone's making it up.
Let me see the tiding of magpies. So regal.
All right. Now, I watched Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, decent reviews. I also got a few tweets from people who saw it, said it was the worst movie they ever saw, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's always an indictment on the American military because the American military can't do anything about this giant creature that lives in the sea. I mean, we have submarines and battleships and F-22 Raptors.
Useless.
And
useless.
Useless. But if you have Millie Bobby Brown on your side, you can take him down, which is, again, it's a real slap in the face to the men and women in uniform, Also,
does she have superpowers? She's 12.
They always know something that the military doesn't know. So
she does a little reading.
Right. So there's that. It's another interesting thing, maybe certainly a sociological thing. The movie starts with she's listening to this podcast, and the podcast is giving all the secret underground you know, subversive stuff on Godzilla and blah, blah, blah. And it's just that, wow, podcasting is now ubiquitous because, they didn't explain what a podcast was. They didn't call it anything. It was just listening to a podcast. So I thought, well, that's interesting. The other thing, too, is at some point, there's always that quick scene where they scramble the fighter jets and the fighter jets. If I was the squadron commander, I would be like, by no means fly lower than Godzilla's chin. By no means. Just don't do it. You can fire these Sparrow missiles up beyond the horizon now.
Indeed.
Like, we don't need to even see the enemy aircraft anymore.
Why even come within an arm's reach of the creature? That seems foolish.
You do not need to be within several nautical miles of it in order to launch those missiles. But they always fly in low, fire a couple of missiles. It annoys Godzilla, and then Godzilla swats him. But as I always say with these movies,
they feels like a tactical error.
It does. Also, they have spent uranium armor-piercing rounds that'll just go through anything. They also have, like, crazy rounds that'll go through the side of a tank. They'll go through, like, 6 inches of tank steel, burrow in, and then explode, you know? I think we could get past Godzilla, you know, he's got a turtle shell or some
scales
on him. I think we could get through some of those scales with the Sidewinder or Sparrow missile, but we never do. It never works. And then
you're debating the veracity of a Godzilla movie.
Here's what I'm saying. At some point, all the F-22 Raptors just unload all their armament on all their missiles, everything on them. It doesn't do anything. But then at some point, King Kong catches up to him and throws a stout right hook and it stuns him. You know what I mean?
He's shook.
He threw a roundhouse punch and it knocked him on his tail. Why don't the missiles do anything? But anyway.
It'd be like shooting a dude with a bunch of bullets, nothing happened, and then you give him an uppercut. And
right. Oh, now you've heard him. Yeah, there's kind of there's that.
This doesn't tell me whether or not you enjoyed the movie.
That's true.
Fun. I had a real Larry David type moment, which is I said to Sonny, you know, where are we going? He said, well, Dennis Prager's stepson has a huge 25-foot screen in his backyard, and he sets up the projector and he gets the movies and he gets all the lawn chairs out there and everyone has a grand old time. And I said, fine, what are they serving? Are they doing food? Should we bring food? And he's like, no, they're going to do pizza. And I said, these are a bunch of young guys. They're going to order pizza. We're going to get Domino's or some other brand that I don't really want with the medium, weird, chewy crust that I cannot.
You roll your own, you son of a bitch.
So I go, what time are we supposed to be there? He said, well, we're supposed to be there at 7:30. That's where the pizza, you know, we're going to eat the pizza and then we're going to watch the movie at 8. And I said, okay. So I go by Stella's, the local place where I know the guy, get the thin crust, I get the olives and the sausage and the onion, and then I come walking into this party and there's no pizzas, but I'm holding a pizza, and then there's a clearing on the table where the food is, and I go, oh, where's the pizza? And they go, oh, it's not here yet. It's not here yet. And then I go, oh, I brought a pizza. And they go, yeah, great. Just set it down. The pizza's showing up.
No.
And I'm like,
they descended upon your pizza.
You gotta sit on that pizza.
Now I'm sitting there and I'm like,
I forgot something in the car.
It's a weird move to pick the pizza up and go hide it in the backyard something.
Yes, yeah. Bury it like a dog.
I'm holding my perfect pizza going, just set it down. The pizza will be here. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're not going to have any pizza then until the pizza shows up, right? Yeah. Well, the pizza's going to be showing up soon. And then, like, 15 minutes went by, and people are talking around the table. And I'm looking.
Circling,
I'm just trying to look at it, you know? And I go, where's that pizza? I don't know. It should be here anytime. And I'm like, yeah, we should get that pizza over here. At a certain point, I turned around. Then they popped up the UCLA game, the last 2 minutes of the UCLA game.
What a great game that was.
Crazy game. pop that up on the 25-footer. We watched a crazy buzzer beater for that. And then I turn around, and I see a stack of Domino's pizzas on the table. And I go, oh, okay. And I walk over there. It's open, the pizza box. Everyone's getting into the pizza now. It's the same as everyone always does. Medium crust, super chewy cheese, and medium crust, super chewy pepperoni. Those are the offerings.
Sucks.
It almost tastes like a chemical when you bite into the pepperoni chew, whatever. Then I go, oh, has anyone seen the other pizza box? Oh, I think they went through that one. I was like, God. And then later on, I found a paper plate outside where someone had scraped off my toppings.
Oh,
they wanted
this
the
is
pizza,
insulting.
But they didn't want the olives on there or whatever. And they just, I ate it with my hand.
Good. Keto.
The point is I was like devastated. And now there's just this crazy chewy Domino. So I don't know. I guess
that was your sacrifice for the movie.
Leave the pizza in the car and then walk in. I didn't anticipate the pizza not being there yet.
And you're so right about that, you know, sort of big box pizza. It tastes like a stomach ache. So it does not make sense to eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Sonny had a piece of the Domino's and I just went, let me have a bite off that. And it just, it tasted like chemicals were in my mouth. And it's because the middle is never good. You either go thin or you go deep dish. Do not, the middle for anything.
Don't waste your time.
Do not be in the waves being pummeled. Be on the beach or be beyond the breakers. But anyway. Yes.
Before we get too far away from the King Kong Godzilla talk, because, you know, I have thoughts. I don't know if you saw this picture going around on Twitter and Facebook, but because, you know, we've talked about, you know, supernatural creatures and we've talked about dolphins raping people and Loch Ness and all of these things, I want to see if you guys have seen this tweet that's making the rounds. I think Kaylin has it. This is, I'm going to read it to you.
Oh.
There's a guy that's... Brian, hold on. Working on finishing another history thread for you guys. This is a guy named Jay Hulme. I should have it out today or tomorrow. It's naval base, blah, blah, blah. Whale penises mistaken for tentacles. Mm. I wish I was joking about the whale penis thing, but no. Most sea monster myths are just a combo of giant squids, unexplained shipwrecks, disappearances, and sightings of whale boners. Enjoy this image of a whale boner pretending to be a sea monster. So when you see those grainy black and white pictures of Nessie from Loch Ness, it's probably just a whale penis.
It looks like this. I wish someone would mistake my penis for a sea monster. That'd be the best day of my life. Yeah.
Isn't it disappointing and sort of cathartic? Like, we can now put this to bed?
It makes sense. It's sticking out of the water like 3 or 4 feet. It looks like a whale penis.
A serpent.
Uncut. all right. I found another song. And then Chris and I looked it up, and it was another Jerry Goffin, Carole King offering, who was Gina's offering. He hit me, and it felt like a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song isn't quite as bad, but along the same lines as songs that would never be made today. Can you tell what era it's from?
63, 64.
80s revival.
63. Yeah. So you can do what you want. She can't stay mad.
She shouldn't tip her hand like that.
I know.
You can cheat on me and lie.
Run around, yeah. This is the best part. Fucking another chick. All your charm. All right, pause it for a second.
Don't do it, girl.
He's bagging somebody else. She was mad, but then she thought about it.
Yeah.
His charms. And then she fucked him.
I don't like it.
All right, sorry. You can keep going, John.
I love you till I die, and I can't stay mad.
You know what I always wonder? I always wonder, you know, when you hear shit now that's super trendy and super dumb and you go, oh, that's not going to hold up or history's not going to be kind to this. Were there a bunch of versions of me in 1962 going, this shooby dooby doo wop fucking bullshit, these stupid kids, there's nothing musical, is this going to sound, people are going to make fun of this shit in 1988. You know what I mean? There yeah, must have been.
There probably were
right?
some yeah, grumpy old men back then.
I hate that it's so catchy.
It is catchy. Yeah. It's sung by Skeeter. Who was it? Skeeter Davis, who had a bunch of songs. I don't know. One of the good parts about taking these weird deep dives is you find these crazy people and what they did, and they had wow. other hits, and they sung country and whatever. But another Carole King
wow.
offering. Dawson has a couple offerings on short notice. I just phoned it in when I was driving in like 20 minutes ago.
This one's right down the line, home run. Never have a chance of being played or made. This is one of Hank Williams Jr.'s 35 greatest hits.
If the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd probably run for president of the southern states. The day Elvis passed away would be our national holiday. If the South would have won, we'd have had it made.
Oh. Yeah.
I'd make
Hank Jr.
Supreme Court down in Texas.
Supreme Court, Texas.
And we wouldn't have no killers getting off free.
Oh, kill them.
If they were proven guilty, then they would swing quickly. Instead of writing books and smiling on TV.
Hank has a point. Yeah.
We'd all learn Cajun cooking in Louisiana.
It's the most quaint and part of the whole thing.
And back in Alabama. We'd put Florida on the right track, cause we'd take Miami back. And throw
from
all
who?
Them pushers in the summer. Oh, if the South would have won, wow. we'd have had it made.
Dolly Parton was influenced by Skeeter Davis. Evidently.
I absolutely can see that because and when you said that that's a Carole King song, I kind of get it, like soulful and from the eyes of like a woman in love trying to figure out what's what.
Well, Carole King came a long way from the 60s to the 70s because
right.
she got into Tapestry and all that stuff. And that was very well, folksy 70s stuff.
And she wrote like Up on the Roof and stuff, right? I mean, she's been doing this since she was like essentially a teenager.
She's written a kajillion songs, still alive.
Yeah. She got the Presidential Medal of Honor, I think.
I wouldn't argue. That makes sense. All right, Gina, you have one?
I do, much more contemporary, but just up to the line. It as much as we all revered him and thought he was a rock god, 20 years later, this song would not be made.
Rape Me.
Rape yeah. Me.
Yeah. And song. This is essentially all the lyrics.
Rape me, my friend.
I guess you can say rape me, but you can't say rape you.
Rape you.
How many spins does this one get these days?
Yeah, not that many.
That was my short notice offering.
On the nose, but solid. Dawson has one last one that he cooked up.
Now, this is an early offering from, honestly, one of my early on favorite bands ever, The Cure. But there is no goddamn chance in hell they would make this today. You'll get the title in a second. I guess it's a song about murder, but it's a very specific kind of murder.
I'm standing on the beach with a gun in my hand, staring at the sky, staring at the sand, staring down the barrel at the Arab on the ground.
Killing an Arab.
Killing an Arab.
Wow.
Yes.
Problematic. All right. We have another Cosmo dating tip.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson, play One in a Million by Guns N' Roses. Yeah. No, don't do that. Don't do that. We can't play that song.
You got that?
Yeah, I do. This is from March 1998. The question is, he cheated. Should I trust him again?
Mm.
Let's ask Skeeter Davis. Adam Carolla, co-host of Loveline. Oh, by the way. Okay, good. Co-host of Loveline. I thought they had called you host before. I thought they demoted you. But Adam Carolla's answer is, I don't want to make too many excuses for the gender.
By the way, I will tell you, you can always, everything's sort of in the language. So if they call you co-host of Loveline or co-host of The Man Show, you're fine. If they say Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick, then they're pissed. That means there's going to be a shitty, whatever comes after them calling you somebody's sidekick means that you're going to get thorough thrashing in this review or this article. That's how you can always tell. All right, sorry.
I don't want to make too many excuses for the gender, but men are biologically designed to have sex with more than one person. But I think you have to consider the scenario. If you catch a guy who had an anonymous fling on a business trip, that's more forgivable, I think, than finding out your man is actually having another relationship behind your back. You know, you find credit card receipts for lingerie he's bought her, trips they've taken together, expensive dinners. Either way, though, if a guy cheats once, he's liable to do it again. It's really your call.
Ooh.
Well, not much advice there, but some context.
Really covered all the bases.
Yep. Your call.
I have Leah Thompson's thoughts on this.
Yes.
Truthfully, I think it's very hard to repair the kind of damage cheating can do to a relationship. But I believe everyone's allowed to make one mistake. If you find out your man is fooling around, you need to talk about what happened and why immediately. By virtue of the fact he wants to stay with you, I assume the man is sorry and wants you to believe that he won't ever do it again. So if you want to make the relationship work and you truly love him, you need to forgive this one indiscretion and move on. But wow. Two strikes and he's out.
I didn't see that coming.
Mm. No, me neither. You got another one, Dawson? Oh, sorry. You were just sitting like you didn't. I was trying to read you. All right. Let's see. We got March Madness coming up. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game coming up. I will tell you an indicator of how I know society at large is out of it. And talked about it a little in the past, but not for a long time, which is I was noticing, and I always notice, when I was driving up through the 405 pass, that it's always slow going up and fast going down. And there is, if you want to think about a sort of general out of itness, look at it this way. Most modern cars now have like a heads up digital display. Like your speed limit is on the windshield. And if it's not on the windshield, it's on the dash, and it's big and it's proud and it's loud and it's digital. You know,
yeah.
And you're traveling and most people on the 405, when there's not much traffic, they're going 72, 75 miles an hour. All of a sudden you hit that incline and we slowed it down to 53. Now,
oh my God,
you know, because you have a digital readout of your speed. It's not like, well, I put my hand out the window and I couldn't quite tell how fast I was going. You know, digitally exactly how fast you're going. And you want to talk about a remedy for this issue. There's no longer, well, I had to double clutch it and drop it down into fourth. Or it's just, you take your right foot, it's on a pedal, and you depress it another 3/8 of an inch, and you will keep that flat line speed. You're going 74 when you were flat the whole time. Now you hit this incline. You've slowed it up into the lower 50s. Just take your right foot. Push it down a little more. Look at the digital readout and just stay at that. It always just slows right the fuck down going up. It's not even, it's probably, first off, it's probably safer going up a hill a little fast, certainly, than it is going down a hill. You just have more control. But then as soon as you crest the hill, it's 82 miles an hour now. It was 74 when we're flat. We got into 53 because we hit the incline, and now we come. Really, your brain can't talk to your foot enough, even with the big digital readout of how fast you're going. It can't compensate for this. It doesn't see this coming. It's not. It's a commute. These people make it every day. It's probably the same group of people. Yes, Brian.
That's funny you mention that, because that is my route to and from the studio. And I swear you have never. I don't think you have ever perfectly articulated a rant that has been in my head for so long. Because every day, as you go up the hill and down the hill, up the hill and down the hill, back and forth, I would be like. Okay, because we record at, what, 1 in the afternoon, so the traffic wasn't that bad. So I'm like, there's no traffic, yet everyone's driving as though there is traffic, as though they're anticipating traffic at any moment. It's like, just go, just go. We're on an open freeway for a rare moment in L.A. Just go. Yep, puttering along at 52 miles an hour. It's like, what is happening? Why are we doing this?
Cars have never had more power or been easier to control. They're all automatic, all the transmissions doing all the shifting for you. You just push. You literally take your big toe and you put a little extra pressure on the accelerator pedal that you've been using since you backed out of your driveway. It's not like, whoa, what is this mystery pedal that's under my right foot? Yeah, it's just you push it and you go a little bit faster. Is there a greater sign for being out of it?
You're 100% right. I think it's people like, you know, fiddling with their smartphones or their, you know, connect the drive or whatever it is, or just being generally out of it. But I've had this in my mind every day to and from work for however many years.
Okay. Well, and I think, too, when we talk about, you know, turning, you know, left or whatever, it's yes, we all think it because at any point, any one of us could be up front and in charge. But it's just a sort of zombie follow the leader.
Like a maniac, I'm zipping in and out of traffic, going the speed limit, by the way. I'm going like 65, 70 miles an hour, dusting these idiots who are going 51 miles an hour. Like, what are you doing? Go, we can go. This is a great thing.
And I wish it was them fiddling with coordinates on their dashboard. They're arguably fiddling with as much shit as they were when they were going 77 miles an hour on a flat freeway.
Probably true.
They just, it's almost like, It's scary because it's like we were going 77 and now we're going 54. That is the new our new reality. Yeah. It's
that's
like,
fine.
Well, you're going to have to take your right foot and push it a little bit deeper into that acceleration pedal. Anyway,
I wondered if there was a vote that I missed, if there was a tacit agreement I didn't know about. Like, why has everyone decided, yes, it's time to go 51 miles an hour now?
It's also it's a scary indictment of humanity because these guys aren't, you know, fentanyl addicts who have escaped the local authorities. These are just regular folk driving BMWs and Lexus and thing, and they're going to work or they're professionals or whatever. Why do we all fall under the spell is what I'm saying.
I wish I had the answer.
Well, you know, it would be another good thing to put on the freeway sign, which is consistent speed on each side of the hill. When you're coming back from doing a show or whatever and you're going up the Grapevine, people get into the 30s going up into the Grapevine. Like now, and it becomes dangerous because now it is Plachinko or Plachinko or whatever the hell that game is.
Plinko.
You have to. I'm trying to stay at 65. My goal is I shall maintain my speed. All right. Let me hit Tommy John and then we'll get into March Madness. Tommy John is celebrating their 13th year. I'm wearing mine right now. There's a party in your pants and they have invited all of you to celebrate the new pair of Tommy John's dozens of comfort innovations, breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands. Once you try Tommy John, you never go back. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 13 million pairs sold. I will not leave the house without the Tommy Johns on. I took Phil for a nice, big, long, hot walk today. Put my Tommy Johns on. Put a little talcum down the shorts and hit the dusty trail, man. It is the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed, right, Dawson?
Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's 20% off loungewear and underwear at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, we'll do March Madness, and we'll do Rotten Tomatoes, and we'll do that right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS.
Every single month you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. April will feature Righteous Felon Beef Jerky with flavors like Shea, Potle, Guevara, and Habanero Escobar. Expand laces, because who doesn't want to turn every shoe into a slip-on? At least sometimes. You'll also get a copy of Daddy Stop Talking and a bottle of your choice. Prep your mail's box, because Adam's Monthly Nut is on its way. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. As far as I'm concerned, as far as America is concerned, March Madness was over and decided once the word gut was used. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, thank you, caller, but we still have some brackets to go. We got four more. What are we doing? Are we narrowing it down to two?
We're finishing off the irate eight today to head into the furious four tomorrow.
Cannot wait. All right, Dawson, shall we get underway?
It's time again to see which vexation will be victorious in the big rants of March Madness Madness. Last episode, we started the irate eight. Waiters and tipping, scrubbed, unrinsed coffee mugs from the tournament. And Gavin Newsom was recalled by Forest Lawn Flower Guys. It's time for our final two matchups in the irate eight. From the big government conference, it's Dr. Fauci going up against the minimum wage.
Well, Fauci. I was thinking about that name. Fauci sounds Italian to me. And then I looked up his first name, Anthony, of course, but we could call him Tony Fauci. He's a fucking paisan. He's the least Italian guy since Jim fucking Carolla floated down the shit flume in 1931. When you think Italians, you don't think, let's not go to church, let's not eat out, let's triple fucking mask, let's all ball up into a fetal position. No, I think fucking Tony Soprano with those guys have fucking double masked. And Fauci, paisan, you missed an opening. We could have been talking about obesity, we could have been talking about supplements, we could have been talking about diets, but no, you ran it like a fucking popularity contest. Oh, I love the protesters. Oh, I'm going to wear a mask even after I'm vaccinated. Stop worrying about your fucking publicist and start worrying about the American people. Minimum wage. Well, I did some thinking on this today. In 1980, I worked at McDonald's. I made $3.10 a goddamn hour. In 1982, I made $6 an hour working carpet cleaning. In 1983, I made $7 an hour working as a laborer. In 1986, I made $10 an hour and as an apprentice carpenter. And now I make $4,200 an hour shouting about how much I make an hour. I just made $1,100 since we started this fucking show. You're supposed to work your fucking way up the ladder. And the only way you have incentive to work up the ladder is if your fucking minimum wage is low enough to create a little discomfort, which then enacts change. All the minimum wage talk, no talk about training, no talk about vocational training, no talk about getting these fucking losers out of high school with some pipe fitting ability or carpentry ability or electrician or plumbing ability. No, let's just take all the fat ass mothers of three and make them rich before they die.
Oh, Maron.
Bringing the fire.
I'm speechless.
I'll start off. You know, I really admired the creativity of going after Fauci vis-a-vis Italian name.
Yeah,
imperative.
Paisan, yeah.
However, the bringing the minimum wage, or excuse me, the earning wage that Adam Carolla has experienced throughout his life full circle to now was pretty artful and frankly pretty masterfully done. I think he spun circles around Fauci. I personally am going for minimum wage.
See, I get that completely, and I understand. And Adam Carolla's great story arc, it makes sense beautifully. But I can't get out of my own way here. First of all, the imagery of a shit flume is something that I will take with me from now until
eternity. No disrespect to my dad.
No, not taking, no.
You know, The Sopranos, near and dear to my heart, really speaking my language, speaking to me, you know, talking about we had this great opportunity to finally talk about supplements and diabetes and radio silence. So, God, as much as I loved the arc of the Adam Carolla story, I'm going for Fauci. I think we have to get a tiebreaker.
Let's reach behind the glass and see what Chris and Dawson think.
Well, funny you mention that glass, Brian, because during one of the rants, the glass physically started to shake.
Wow.
Veins were popping. The winner, hands down, minimum wage.
There you go.
All right.
Hold on.
From the Pop Culture Conference, it's DJ Khaled facing off with Gillette's toxic masculinity ad.
DJ Khaled, is that even your real name? Because I looked it up. His real name is Frank Cops Your Beat. That's right. He steals everyone's fucking beat. Yes, we used to call it Kyped. I don't know if that's politically correct anymore. But I was thinking about DJ Khaled, and I thought this inflated sack of manure that's been stuffed into a mummy bag is the least talented human being who has ever walked the planet. And then I thought, who could ever beat him in the least talented pound-for-pound category? You have Justin Timberlake, Sacha Baron Cohen, Peter Dinklage, all the great Mount Rushmore pound-for-pound talent. If I took DJ Khaled and put him in a fucking Cuisinart and tried to extract talent from him, I couldn't wet the whistle of a fucking dry mouth squirrel. Oh, shit. We got another one. Sorry. Gillette. Oh, and their toxic masculinity. Oh, you guys fucking hate dudes. Hey, good luck, Gillette. This is a bad business plan because you're essentially trying to turn all the dudes into chicks. And then once we're chicks, who the fuck needs your product? You don't see Omaha Steaks giving vegan fucking commercials, do you? No, they're not doing commercials for fucking PETA. Your well will run dry because you have converted all the dudes into chicks and we no longer need your triple-edged razors. But let's really think about it. There's toxic masculinity. Why is there not toxic femininity? Huh? When's the last time you heard about a dude drowning his kid in a bathtub? Oh, no, we don't do that. That's the bitch's work. Right, and who makes you late when you're going out at night? Not the dudes. The chicks do it. And who? Who are the welfare queens? It ain't welfare king. It's welfare queen. And as we've discovered during the pandemic, they're called Karens, not Kens.
Inspired.
Asking if DJ Khaled was his real name was one of the funniest things I've heard in my life. Very, very. There's an irony, by the way, the fact that DJ Khaled has gotten so far in his life by being talentless, and now he's gotten so far in this tournament while having almost nothing to offer. I loved the turning the twist of toxic femininity with Casey Anthony. I never even thought about that. I'm leaning towards toxic masculinity. What about you?
Yeah.
Well, I hate against bringing other things in, but it's a wide open topic. The topic is pretty, you know, it's pretty out there.
No, I think, you know, sometimes to see clearly, you have to subvert it and see the other side. And I think that was done so masterfully with toxic masculinity because the bitches are absolutely going to understand when Adam starts talking about things that happen in all of my true crime podcasts. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I got nothing to say back. He's
where do you
right.
go from there?
Yeah, there's nowhere. So turning all of it back on the ladies, I think, was masterful. I agree. Toxic masculinity continues.
Get your bracket at AdamCarolla.com and tune in tomorrow for the start of the Furious Four as the big rant rages on in March Madness Madness.
Well, if you think about it, you know, having sex with your daughter's pretty egregious, but drowning your kid in a tub is even worse.
Yeah. I mean, yes. If you're going to have to weigh the two, yeah.
Between those two options only, yes.
I would argue it's top five worst things you can do to your kid, which is drown him in a tub, and that is strictly the dominion of the women. That yeah. is their world. All right. I was thinking about the Rotten Tomatoes game, and I was driving, and I was thinking, my God, I feel like I'm 0-31. And I it's pathetic. It's sad. I watch movies. I know Rotten Tomatoes scores. I've been dominated. And I decided, like Joe Willie Namath, I'm going to announce a victory. I'm going to announce in advance. I'm calling my shot. I'm announcing a victory because I cannot take another loss in this game.
I don't want to be a one-upper, but I thought long and hard about the Rotten Tomatoes game, too, and I'm going to dedicate this performance to Steve Grad in his memory.
Now I'm torn.
Damn it.
Damn you.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dozen names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
You may recall back in October, in honor of Halloween, we discussed movies that feature an appearance from Satan. Well, it's Easter now. So it's only fitting that we flip the coin over and talk about everyone's favorite Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, movies that feature Jesus.
Okay.
We'll begin with this extremely controversial film that asks, what would have happened if Jesus didn't die on the cross?
A classic.
Directed by Martin Scorsese and starring Willem Dafoe as Jesus, Harvey Keitel as Judas, Barbara Hershey as Mary Magdalene. From 1988, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Never saw it.
One of the few Scorsese films I've not seen.
I've seen this. I mean, I know I'm not the target demo here. I understand it was insanely controversial. Is it a super big deal to suggest that he didn't die on the cross?
Scorsese is a hardcore Catholic too. Like of all people, like he shouldn't have gotten all the pushback he got.
Oh boy, never saw it. I have no idea. You know what I realize? I watch almost no Jesus movies, and there's two reasons. It's A, I'm an atheist. B, I don't like dusty movies. Any movies where people are in the desert and they're like, you know the thing where the guy's all sweaty and then he falls down in the desert and he gets up all stuck to his face.
Fucking corn dog.
Yeah, so, I don't know if it's exactly a phobia, but I just you know what it is? I work on so many construction sites in the San Fernando Valley during the hot, dusty days of summer, and it was always like, you know, people used to do stuff. I don't know if you tell me if I have like a dust phobia, but like guys I would work construction with, we'd be in some warehouse or we're like sanding the floors and whatever, and some prick would like bring in a piece of plywood and he'd like hold it up and then he just let it go and it'd go ploop on the ground, plume. This big plume, and it'd just be like, what? No, I hate leaf blowers. I hate dust. Every Jesus movie is a super dusty movie and it hurts my teeth. So
you don't watch spaghetti westerns either?
I can watch. I'll watch Tarantino's Hateful Eight.
Right.
But I don't like.
I was in the snow.
I know. That's why. I don't like dusty movies. I'll watch, Brooke Shields on a tropical island or something like that. But I don't know. All right. So the critics, this was a big movie. Probably got some nominations. I have no idea. This was kind of early enough that it wasn't a thing where the critics were uptight about religious movies or something like that. Could have, in fact, gone the other way. Could have gotten a little punishment from the non-woke crowd on this movie. I have no idea. I think it was well received at 86.
I went lower. My hunch is that it's lower. I said 61, barely fresh.
Mm. I guess I split the difference. I would assume since it's, you know, controversial in Scorsese, it puts it near 100. But there's a that's thinking about today's standards. I said 78.
The Last Temptation of Christ is certified fresh.
Shit.
At 81%.
Good.
All right.
Next up, if there's one thing this biblical story of betrayal and crucifixion needs, it's spectacular musical numbers and peak 70s hairdos. Mm-hmm. Adapted from the hit Andrew Lloyd Webber stage show, starring Ted Neely as Jesus Christ, a killer performance from Carl Anderson as Judas. And Yvonne Elliman plays Mary Magdalene. I watched this every single Easter, and I had to do too much work all day. I did not see it yet. Aww. From 1973, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Never seen the movie, only seen the play, the musical.
Wow.
The stage show.
That's a one-upper. That's like, I read the book, and the movie didn't... I only saw the play is the gay version of I read the book.
We had to watch it in high school.
Touché.
Sophomore religion.
Really? It's sophomore religion?
Yeah.
Well,
try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Oh, don't you know everything's all right? Yes, every and anybody?
No, but everyone. I mean, this is a huge play, a huge musical.
Yeah.
Then you make the movie, and are people disappointed in the movie?
God,
This movie could be in the low 40s or the low 80s. I'd have no ever-loving idea.
And I think this is a Norman Jewison film, and ironically, I don't think he's Jewish.
Wow.
Norman Jewison.
Directed Moonstruck.
Weird.
I think. Oh, shit.
All right, let's see. All right, no idea, 63.
Ooh. A little higher at 76.
70.
Jesus Christ Superstar is rotten.
Shit.
At 52%.
All right.
And Norman Jewison is Canadian, and he did direct Moonstruck.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It helps.
Our next film is based on a popular armpit-sniffing Saturday Night Live sketch character. In one scene, Jesus appears in a dream sequence, only this time he's played by Will Ferrell. Molly Shannon's Mary Catherine Gallagher is visited by a groovy Jesus who encourages her to try out for her high school's talent show. From 1999, Superstar.
When they would make these sketches into 95-minute movies.
They were churning these out, too, at this point. You know, between the ladies' man and the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury guy,
Didn't Tim Meadows have one?
That was ladies'
man? Yeah, ladies' man.
Oh, that was ladies' man. Okay. Mm.
All right.
Did not see this.
No. We
it's
know,
not a good sign.
We know it's not good, but are we in the 20s? Or, there's talented enough people in this movie. Is it Will Ferrell's the other in this? Okay. Well, he's always good.
What year was this?
99.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
37.
Went lower at 22.
Went lower, 15.
Mm-mm. Superstar is rotten at 32%.
Ooh. Damn it.
He's hanging tough.
What did you say?
I said 37.
Ooh.
One of the subplots of our next film involves the Catholic Church attempting to freshen up their image and replace the depressing crucifix with something more uplifting.
Buddy Christ.
Along with the campaign, Catholicism, wow. The Cardinals unveil a winking, pointing Buddy Christ statue that is now an iconic meme. Bet you didn't know the image originated in this Kevin Smith fantasy comedy. Starring Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Selma Hayek, and Chris Rock, and others, from 1999 as well. Dogma.
I've never seen this.
I love this movie. And this was controversial at the time. There were picketers.
Yeah,
there was
I remember
all
that.
Sorts of everything. And this is a sweet, smart, funny movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hate Kevin Smith, but doesn't mean this isn't a good movie. And this is the kind of... What year did you say this was?
99.
This is a kind of a film that could have got a couple of bumped points from some, you know, critics who thought it was cool that they were thumbing their nose at Catholicism. So I think this is going to be up there, but it's Kevin Smith. It can't be that high.
He was a critical darling at one point, remember?
Yes, that is true. I come in at 79.
Right below you at 73.
Right above you, 80.
Dogma is fresh.
Oh, yeah.
At 67%.
Oh, all right.
And finally,
lost a couple points there.
The film that made all the headlines when it was released 17 years ago. Depicting the brutal final day of Jesus' life.
So dusty.
In all its bloody glory.
I have no idea.
Lots
so
of dust.
So many infected wounds.
It gets better. Spoken entirely in Hebrew, Latin, and Aramaic.
Fucking Aramaic.
Starring Jim Caviezel as Super Duper JC. And directed by Mel Gibson from 2004, The Passion of the Christ.
Mm, I saw this.
A lot of tetanus, I bet.
Unsanitary conditions.
Yeah.
I this is not an attractive movie to me, but I heard it was good or powerful or something.
This movie features more ass kicking than all the John Wick movies combined.
Doesn't he just get the shit beat out of him for like 90%?
Yes, he's ass kicked for fucking 2 hours.
I'm not a theologian, but are there car chases? Because I might want to revisit this.
Chariot chases. Monica Bellucci's in this, and so is a weird devil.
All right. Now, by my loose calculations, I may be up a little, but just a little. And I haven't seen this movie. And you kind of wonder, this is pre-Mel Gibson controversy, right?
Mm, yes. I don't think so. Was it?
It was
2004,
pre.
Yes.
Pre, but there could have been some votes coming in after the controversy.
Okay. This was pre the leaked tapes of Get in the Hot Tub and Blow Me?
Oh, well before that.
Oh, okay.
The Malibu thing happened when we were on the radio show in like 06 or 07.
Okay.
Kalen saw this with his grandma and she cried the entire time.
In the theater, actually.
In the theater.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't imagine a worse experience.
Wait a minute, how old were you?
I would have been like 11 or 12.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You can't see movies with your grandparents.
Just me and her bawling the whole time.
Wow.
This is not appropriate for an 11-year-old. This is an extremely violent movie. One of the most violent I've ever seen.
All right. I'm feeling like I'm trying to protect a lead, a small lead, but I feel like I'm still trying to protect it. And for that reason... I'm going to go 75.
This might do it. I went a little higher at 83.
Yeah, I think I've already been knocked out, but I went with 78.
The Passion of the Christ is rotten.
What?
Really?
At 49%.
Wow. Oh, damn.
And the people have it at 80.
That's a lot of religious people. That's surprising. This is an above average movie. That it's not easy to watch, but it's certainly good.
Wow.
Gina Grad.
I got him at a one.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you made it on the podium.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla also on the podium.
Yeah.
Firmly. Bald Brian, you also made the podium.
Oh, thank Christ.
But you're in the lowest spot possible, third place, 94.
It had to happen.
Gina takes 80.
Oh, Easter miracle.
And the Ace Man points at the bleachers and knocks it out of the park. Adam Carolla wins with a score of 59.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You and Sonny could watch Passion of the Christ.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Just seeing people walk around in sandals on dirt bothers me.
Yeah. It's this like is not your movie then.
No,
Did you like Gladiator?
Yeah.
All sandals and dirt.
I know.
They're called Gladiator sandals.
I know. It's still, it's such a good movie. Lots of action, but still a little too dusty for me. I don't like dust. I figured out, I took Phil for a long walk on the horse trail today. And when he takes a dump, he waits about a five Mississippi and then does that whole thing where he kicks all the dirt out from under him. And I'm usually standing over his pile of poop, cleaning it up when he's dusting me. It's like a dune buggy burning out in front of you on the sand. And this time I was onto him. Like I don't want any more sand in my shoes. So I stood in front of him. All right, Cesario is going to join us in a second with some Chet Waterhouse. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard. And you want to make it a little easier on yourself? How about you get your bundle on with Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com, and get your bundle on today. All right, Jeff Cesario is going to zoom in, and we'll talk to him. We'll do the news. We'll do Chet Waterhouse. We'll do that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.